Good morning, everyone. Morning. Let's get started here. I'll pray. There's still a lot of people up. Louder. Good morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this church. Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord, that we can share. We can read from your word we just ask that you help convey it to others so we all understand what you want, Lord, and what you seek in us. We just thank you for this day, Lord, and just ask you to be with us and just bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've had a few medical issues, and I'm just amazed how God works. I really am. I am not an indoor person. You know, I had to go to the hospital last time for my heart thing. I told Carla, okay, I'll call you when I get done with my whatever they got to do checking me out. And Carla's like, you ain't going nowhere. I was like, oh no, you'll see. Nope. I was there for, what was it, 6-7 days? It went by so easy. I'll tell you why. One of the reasons why, I was thankful. I did this before. The Lord is faithful. I did it before where I was scared because I had testicular cancer. And was going to have to go in for an operation and all this. And I asked the pastor and the deacons of the church to come over and anoint me with oil. And, you know, I didn't feel perfect right away. But by the next day that I had to go in there and talk to the doctor about my upcoming appointment, I told him I didn't really want the operation. I don't want the operation. Well, what are you talking about? I said, do you believe in faith healing? I had the church pray over me, and I think I'm healed. I'm going to claim that I am healed. And he got upset and had another doctor come in and look at and said, son, you are playing with your life. And he goes, you can't play around with this. Okay. So I went through the operation, and they found nothing. And I don't know where that doctor is today, but I was like, and you don't believe in faith healing? My Lord touched me. Anyhow, so I go in for this heart thing that I had in there for days. And like I said, I'm not I'm an outdoor person, not an indoor person. And I just, the first time, I had a knee operation. Every single time, I thank the Lord for where I'm at, for what I'm going through. Because, Lord, I ask that you help me to share your word, your love with others. And, you know, when are you ever going to talk to doctors or nurses? The time, everything I've ever gone through has gone by so easily, and I've had good stories to tell about it. And having a doctor right off the bat pray for me, I was shocked. And but just letting them know what the Lord means to me, they might not even take it. They might not even do anything with it right then. They just maybe agree with you. But you know what? When they go into a problem, I bet you they're going to think about that. A little word. Anyhow, my whole thing is we went to South Carolina to visit some friends. Dwight and Paula's granddaughter and grandson. Anyhow, me being a car guy, Brantley said, hey, I got a place I got to take you to. He passes it going to work every day. He hadn't even been there. And so, yeah, we had a day that we dropped Malachi off at school and then went over to this car place. I mean, it looks like a junkyard. But it's not. It's got cars from junk to fully restored. Anyhow, it's kind of my, a junkyard. The smell of motor oil and axle grease, it's just my heaven. I mean, it's, to Carla, it would be Bed Bath & Beyond or, something that she likes. Or to a kid, it's Toys R Us, Anyhow, so we go in there, and you got to keep a pretty brisk walk the whole time. There's so many cars in here. I mean, you stop, this is this year or that year, and rare. Then you just keep going, though, because it's so full. So there's one car I was kind of interested in, and the only one there that didn't have a price in the windshield. And so I was talking to one of the employees there, and he goes, well, I'm not sure. And he goes, hey, let me go get the owner. And so that guy come out. I'm ready to talk cars. And but anytime I have a conversation, I always try to bring the Lord in it. Lord willing, or the Lord's blessed me well. There's something I'll try to bring into the conversation. And so Brentley and I are standing there, and this guy is trying to retire. He's trying to sell that all the parts off and all the whole place off. He's in his later 60s. Anyhow, once we talked a little bit about the car, once the Lord came up, that was all gone. We stood there and talked for an hour about the Lord and what the Lord's done for us. And I gave him that story about my cancer, knee operation, heart failure, and told him what happened. And because he went through the same thing. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I had already heard that guy's story. What is the deal? So he gave me a pamphlet. It's got all these cars are listed on here that are for sale there. Well, I looked for a 55 Thunderbird. That's the one I was looking at that he had for sale. One of them. This is a pamphlet, multiple page pamphlet. And never really looked at it anymore after that. It wasn't for a couple days later. It was sitting on the table at Brentley and Madison's that I kind of started looking through it to see what else he had. At the end of the store, or end of all that list, he had a story about how great his God was. And I recognized the story. And so we talked for an hour. The weird thing was, is two days before, we went to church with Brentley and Madison. And I told him, I'm from out of town. I have a little country church that I go to. Asked Brentley, where do you go to church? And I don't remember the name of it, but he goes, really? I go to church there. Well, they have two services, morning and evening, or morning and 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., something like, I don't know. We went to the early one. And anyhow, of course, we talk about that for a while and how small the world is and how we feel exactly the same. And I was really connected to that church in one day. Anyhow, I get back and I thought about it and I go, you know what? After reading that pamphlet he gave me, I got on eBay, of all things. I got on eBay and just started looking in South Carolina, North Carolina, that area. I think he lives in North Carolina, but his place of business was in South Carolina. Anyhow, I found one. Of all things, one of my favorites, a 70 Dodge Super B. And I read that, and then the description went over. I didn't really want to read the story because it feels like it's going to take a while. I wanted to get across how a thankful heart, having a thankful heart, is amazing what that does. The whole time with my dealing with the doctors and every day, you get up in the morning and you're thanking for the day. I mean, when you're going in heart failure, you wake up and just thank the Lord that you woke up. Really? And then you thank him for your family and your business, and thank him for my work. And it says in the Bible, in all things, give thanks. All things. It doesn't say good or bad. And it seems like maybe we don't notice it in the good. Lord, thank you for this day, or thank you for this job, or thank you. We don't even know how he's blessing us, because now something's not going to happen. You know, we're going to get done with this because the Lord's seen us through it. But when we have problems, we really notice when we thank him and ask him to use us, that things go so much easier. You know, when we give God thanks, he gives us peace and joy and even contentment in a situation. I looked up just what a thankful heart does for you, and there's like four things. It decreases pride. You know, I didn't do it. God did it. And I'm thanking God for doing it. It increases humility. You know, I can't do anything without God. Complaining, you know. I joke about it. Everybody asks me, so how are you doing? Oh, I complain, but nobody listens. But anyhow, complaining decreases. You know, when you have a thankful heart, you know. I mean, I have sprayers, and I ran a spray coop for a long time. So anything above that, I'm thankful all the time. Anyhow, and your contentment increases. You know, like again, I had a spray coop. If I got made it through that thing, anything I've got since then is just great. If we really understand that we don't deserve any good thing as a result of our sin, we would be amazed at God's mercy in our lives. For sure. Doubt in God decreases. A thankful spirit cures doubt. And trust in God increases. You know, we talk about, I don't know why I don't go to God first when I get this problem with a piece of equipment or something. I sit there and struggle at it instead of just ask God, help me, give me the wisdom. You know, I have a collection of old cars, and I like the old cars, and they convey also onto other things that, you know, the old stuff doesn't have a computer. You got to figure it out. You know, it's doing this or doing that. You know, Jesus knows every piece of that car. It's amazing. You know, I always thought about that. What if everything just ended and we had to start over? Well, I'm a car guy. I know exactly. I've seen inside, outside, upside, downside of a car. I don't even know where to start to build one. It's probably with a shovel. You know, you got some steel ore or something. I don't know. I don't know how you'd ever do it. We'd totally be, I mean, how would you ever do it? I mean, relying on God, that's absolutely the only way. And it wouldn't be me, because I only know this part. I don't know the other part. Anyhow, I have people call me and ask me if I could, you know, come over and help diagnose what's wrong with their car. I mean, some guys will just say it, Ray, could you just come over and put your hand over this thing, get it fixed? And it's like, well, I can come and look at it, but I don't have this. Anyhow, I just trust in the Lord. The Lord, he knows every little thing, everything. God's all-knowing. Anyhow, worry decreases, and there's the problem. That's why I have had AFib. It's because of worrying. I'm not sleeping right. I don't know if that's what gave me sleep apnea, but you know, I can't go to bed before 10:30, 11 o'clock. Otherwise, I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So if you just wait, just hang on to about midnight, at least maybe you'll get up at 6 o'clock like normal people. Well, you know, then you're sleeping when you're exhausted, and I don't know if that's what gives you sleep apnea, but I've got it, and That's what they said. If I don't use the machine, I'll be back in AFib. Then the doctor says, all right, we'll see you later. Don't go dying on me. What? I'm not even kidding, because it's going to be a week or something till I get my mask. Anyhow, like I said, our trust in God increases. Worry decreases. And with the decrease of worrying, peace increases. We know God's got it. God's got our best interest at heart. I mean, he sees before, after, during. He sees everything. We get to, what was that? Philippians 4:7. The peace of God transcends all understanding. You know, we can't understand it. We don't understand anything, really. I mean, talking to this guy, he prayed before he went in. He had lost 40 pounds, and he's already a skinny guy, and so he was kind of desperate. He went into 4 different hospitals and a different place. I can't remember what it was called now. A university, to find out what's wrong with him. And he was asking God to cure him. He thought he had cancer for sure. And when he went in and got the diagnosis, it was something pancreatic something. It wasn't cancer. But the doctor told him, you would have been better off having cancer. It's 1 in 3 people survive this. You have a lot better chances with cancer. Anyhow, he prayed, and he said that he heard an audible voice that asked him, do you believe? I should read it again. It's there. I can't remember exactly what it said, but believe that God will heal you. And he said, yes, I do believe that God will heal me. And he said he was up at night, you know, crying from 3 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the morning, knowing that this is probably the end. And, you know, God touched him and healed him and gave him like a new life, he said. And he puts it right in there that he just wanted to convey how strong his God is, how wonderful his God is, and how thankful he is. And I really connected with him, because I'd been through a lot of the same things. And thank God. Thank God in all situations, he changes. I mean, he'll change the whole situation. I mean, I was actually able to stay in that hospital for 7 days. I was ready to go, but still, I did what I was told to do, did everything. And the people, the nurses and the doctors, everybody was good. I had a really good experience. I'm telling you, the food was good. And I wasn't really worried about much of anything. And every time I've had a medical deal go on, I see the Lord's hand in it. And I just thank him. So I just think if we could just get it down to just be thankful. Morning, noon, and night. Pray without ceasing. I just thank him. Thank him for this church. Thank him for this day. Thank him for the country. Thank him for his people. We only can be thankful. Nothing else. If it's anything else, you know it's not of God. It's of sin. I'm just thankful that I do have a thankful heart, and that he uses me. Well, let's have the choir, the worship team come up. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the worship team, Lord. And we just ask that you bless our time and bless our worship to you, Lord. We just ask that you just enjoy it, Lord. Enjoy our worship to you. We just thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank God for his gift.
There.
14, 4 through 5, 9, and 3:16. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
In him was light, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Prepare in room and heaven and nature's
Amen. You may be seated.
Love wrapped in swaddling clothes, born to bind up our wounds. All weary souls will rejoice when they hear the good news. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, unto us a child.
Today, this actually was going to preach this a while ago, and then it just didn't work out, so I'm trusting that today is the day that it's supposed to be. So it's not necessarily Christmas-themed, as maybe it would be or could be. But I want to talk about one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy, and just kind of unpack it a little bit, because I think it's very can be very vital to the health and building up of the church body. And I do think that even like my own perception of it, you can get a misconception of it, which can hinder you from fully walking in it more freely. So I hope to unpack that a little bit, and by the grace of the Holy Spirit, I guess make it more clear. So I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I study out of the ESV, and I talked to David back there, and he said, ooh, we don't have that one. So it's going to be New King James up there, but I'm going to read out of the ESV. So they're going to be close, but not exact. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting verse 1, we're going to do quite a bit of reading through verse 25. It's always hard. You're picking different passages because it seems like, oh, there's always, you know, you got to read ahead to get the context, and then, oh, you don't want to leave that out. And anyway, so I ended up oftentimes probably including more, but it just better that way, I think. So this is Paul talking to the Corinthians, and talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in tongues builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments, such as the flute or the harp, do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none without meaning. But if I do not know what the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you were eager for the manifestation of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking, be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by people of strange tongue and by lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all. The secrets of his hearts are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. So when I kind of always think of prophecy, I typically think of Old Testament predicting the future, some revelation from God about the future, and it's going to come true, and you got to make sure, you definitely got to come from God, because if it doesn't come true, that's a bad deal. But I guess that in looking at the fuller meaning of prophecy, and the part I'm kind of going to hone in on today, is not necessarily about predicting the future, but just relaying specific messages from God through the Holy Spirit to one or more people. I guess would be my definition of it for today. Because I think it's more than just predicting the future. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit that Paul talks about here. Like, I kind of want to reemphasize verse 3. On the other hand, the one who speaks prophecy speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, given to us through the Holy Spirit to encourage our fellow believers. And that's why I guess it's so important. And if you kind of just get derailed with, I'm not a prophet, I don't know, then you could miss out on the gift that he has for others. And that's, you're receiving it from others and you're giving it to others, which by giving it, you will also be receiving it because you'll be being used of the Holy Spirit. So, like, the meat of it is, to me, the reason it's so valuable is you can, I think of things like, you got to be encouraging to others, and it's excellent. You should always be encouraging, but it kind of can take on kind of a general nature, like, you're just such a good guy, or, you know, just like general encouragement. That's good, but by exercising the gift of prophecy, by listening to the Holy Spirit, you're able to give what I call like laser-guided encouragement. It's tailored specifically for that person. It's not general. It's specific. And because of that, it carries more power, I guess, in that encouragement. It's not general. It's specific. I think often, getting kind of used to going my most and notes and back and forth here, so bear with me here. I think it can be used specifically. Oftentimes, someone may be hearing from the Lord to walk in some new area that they're unfamiliar with, or just they're hearing from the Lord, but just maybe they're having trouble getting off the fence. A prophetic word from a brother can be just what is needed to give that clarity and boldness, and it's not telling them something they don't already know most of the time. I'm just speaking in kind of my own opinion. It's not something, it can be, definitely can be, but oftentimes I think it works that it's already something they know, but they're just a little bit, can't quite, a prophetic word from a brother or sister can be just what is needed. So you can have that opportunity to be that in someone else's life. Also, you can be the voice that speaks at a critical point in someone's life that changes it towards a closer relationship with God, where maybe it was headed in the exact opposite direction. I'm kind of thinking more in terms of maybe more unpleasant task you might have. An example in the Bible I thought of was Nathan the prophet, when he goes and talks to David. David was a follower of God, but he got way in left field. This ordeal with Bathsheba, Nathan the prophet has to go and deliver harsh words, but it's needed. God still used that, and I still believe that is can be used today, that in the lives of believers. Once again, too, it talks about, I think same thing with comfort. You can be general in your consolation to someone, or laser guided. You might get a word from the Lord that seems maybe, frankly, weird, but it's just what they need to hear. It's just what can minister to them in that time. So once again, it's not up to us. It's the Holy Spirit working. Yeah, so reemphasize, with faithful, accurate prophecy, you can give others clarity, boldness, and direction. So I guess it's Paul talks very, very clear, like, this is something to be valued. This is something to be walked in. The good news, because once again, it's not really on us. Here's the good news. All this is through the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's doing it. We just have to be willing. I'm going to turn to Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4. And here Paul is, he's just right before chapter 14, talking about spiritual gifts specifically, more, talking about all of them. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So, very clear right there. It is the Holy Spirit that does it. We don't have to worry about, you know, I'm not the right one out of give. It's clear the Holy Spirit is the one that gives it out. And I believe that anyone could be a prophet. Now, does that mean that some people, generally speaking, are probably going to walk in certain gifts more than others? Sure. But that isn't what I read in Scripture as a rule. That's just kind of how it happens. So all of us should be willing and open to any of the spiritual gifts that are offered to the Holy Spirit. Because we aren't in charge. The Holy Spirit is. Even though that's very hard, it's very hard to do in the human sense. But that's what I read in Scripture. We need to be willing, whatever it is, to be willing to operate in them. I'm going to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we were made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when we received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, till the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It's again, it's the Holy Spirit, it's not coming from men. The Holy Spirit uses us to convey his message from God. So, what hinders us from operating this gift? Because I'm sure all of you have read the Bible, have read those same verses that I read probably a few times. Like I said, maybe like me, sometimes you kind of just skim over it. No, that's a uber spiritual gift. That's not me. Like that can be often the case. Like, oh, I'm not that type of Christian. Really? I don't know. There's two kinds of Christians. I mean, there is in the human sense, but there really isn't. You're either a follower of Christ or you're not. And I'm not. And that is not saying in a condemning way at all, but there really is no two kinds of Christians. We have to be open. When I say open, Holy Spirit's not a, you know, obviously he's not a bully. He's not going to make anything do you can't do, but it is in our best interest to be open to it. It's in our best interest to be willing, whatever it is, whatever he's calling to you. And I think the gift of prophecy is incredibly valuable and will continue to be more, in my mind, more valuable as our world changes. Scripture and hearing directly from the Lord, relationship directly from the Lord is what will get us through. So one of the things that hindered us, and so I jotted down some, and there's probably more, and maybe these are not, like I say, everyone has their own list. This is what I kind of think of when I think of hindrances. The biggest one, in my mind, not cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You can't hear what you aren't listening for. Basis is Do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Are you continually trying to grow that relationship so that you can hear when he gives you specific messages for one or more people? That's foundational. But given even that, I think there's even more here. It's like, there's different times where I kind of know. Because once again, it's not, I shouldn't say not, it could be. There's plenty of examples where it's really clear. But oftentimes it's not necessarily that clear, but it is clear, it just isn't like beat us over the head clear. So when we're cultivating that relationship, we can hear very clearly and go act on it. But it to others it might seem subtle, I guess is what I'm saying. So it's that developing that relationship to hear and act. But even with that, you might know you're supposed to say something, but embarrassment, what you might look silly. And I even think in our Christian world, you might seem over-spiritual. There's a hindrance of, I don't know, I can't really do that, I know that, but that might seem over-spiritual. Well, it's not, like I'm trying to say, this isn't a super Christian thing. It isn't. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that is only accessible to certain people. It's accessible to anyone who cultivates that relationship with the Holy Spirit and hears what you're supposed to share as obedient and shares it. It's that simple. So the embarrassment of looking funny or even embarrassment over spiritual, it's a hindrance, but it shouldn't stop us. You just kind of deal with your humanity and keep pressing forward. Another one, I think, is so you get the message and you know it's from the Lord, you're supposed to share it, but you're not sure how that other person's going to take it. So it's not necessarily about embarrassment or whatever, but you just don't know how they're going to take it. And I was thinking and praying about this, nothing, it's kind of just like an analogy, nothing is built, like I'm talking buildings and things, without ground preparation. The only thing that you don't have to prepare the ground for is something temporary, like a tent. Even that, you got to stake some stakes in the ground. But basically, there's no ground disturbance in a tent. But something permanent, something well-built, there is ground disturbance. And you can think of ground disturbance as a fence. You might offend people. You might disturb the ground, but the ground might need to be disturbed in order to build something really amazing in that person's life, something that that's rooted in a good, healthy foundation. Jesus was offensive. Always kind of keep that in mind. Jesus was very offensive. That doesn't mean, while using in the name of gift of prophecy, you get to be offensive, obviously. But I think that can be a hindrance if we just, we don't know, that might ruffle some feathers or whatever. Well, then do a double take. Go back. Be in prayer. Make sure you got the message clear. Make sure your heart's right. Make sure you're not going to do it out of just humanness. But all those check out. Go be obedient. Because in that process, if you see it through, I think there's huge, you can reap huge benefits that person in anyone's life, even if it causes offense in the short term. You might get shot at. A very easy example is Prophet Jeremiah got shot at a lot. When I say shot at, I'm saying that is a euphemism. He was thrown in wells, put in stocks, I mean, all kinds of stuff. So operating in this gift, I think it's not something that's like, I don't know, yeah, I don't know how to explain it. It's you're doing it out of obedience and you walk in it and there's huge blessing. But it isn't necessarily going to always equate to accolade or honor or all those things. It might, but it might not. Once again, we aren't in control. God is. Holy Spirit working in your life is. He's the one in control. Do a gut check. Make sure you're hearing clearly. Say it in love, but if it needs to get said, got to say it. Another, I think, hindrance could be maybe we're called to speak out about something that we ourselves struggle with. We hesitate because we need to grow in the same area. You might be getting that message because, yeah, you need to grow in that area, so God's going to use it to work in your life too. I also think, once again, that's a human thing we need to work through. We are human. We aren't going to be perfect. No one is. So I guess my answer to that is be humble, grow in the area, but still be faithful in delivering the message, whatever it is. I think all of the spiritual gifts and stuff often, like, say, it's not, these aren't salvation issues. So oftentimes it's easier just to kind of shy away from those. And if we do that, I just feel that as Christians, we are shutting ourselves off from clarity, boldness, direction, and encouragement with one another. So I guess I'm just kind of like, I don't know, pleading is the right word, but saying that's not a reason to shy away just because it is difficult or this and that. There's incredible value in operating in the gift of prophecy. The model that Paul describes in here in other passage too is he doesn't say perform the gift of prophecy. He says exercise the gift of prophecy. And I think there's a real good reason for that. We are human, so when we exercise it, it's an ongoing building process. It's two ways. It talks about, a guy gives prophecy and it's always tested. It isn't taken instantly as, that's just the way it is. It never contradicts Scripture. So it's exercise. You're walking exercise. And I think that should also encourage us to be more comfortable operating it. We're doing our best, but it's not the same, it's not the same weight as I think it even was in the Old Testament, because you have brothers and sisters around that can hear and test. And we're working together. We're growing in this gift. We're exercising the gift of prophecy. Yeah, main point. In all this, the Holy Spirit will not contradict the written word. There's safety in that. There's grounding in that we can be more free to operate in it while in this framework of grounding in the Scripture. And he's not going to force it. It's another thing. You don't have to worry about, if I open up, I don't know. It's not like that. I think the only time I can think of that maybe it was like that was in the Old Testament when Saul was trucking down to meet someone. I often think about that. I wonder what that was like. It didn't sound like he really was too interested in prophesying, but he prophesied nonetheless. But I don't feel that's how the Lord operates today. It's we have to be willing, we have to be open to it. But there's incredible blessing in that. And kind of a tie-in to this season, I just wanted to talk about an example in the life of Mary, where this was, I feel like it was an exercise like I'm talking about today. So I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 1. So that's kind of an example. So this is after Mary was visited by Gabriel. She's told that she's going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And she goes and she's going to visit Elizabeth, her cousin. Hope I'm saying that right. I think I'm just shooting my memory here. In those days, Mary rose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment what was spoken in her from the Lord." There's to me an example I'm talking about. Elizabeth was used by the Holy Spirit to encourage Mary. Mary was still human. She was visited by Gabriel. She knew what was going on, but I just have to think that still this is kind of weird, you know? Her humanness, I just have to think, was still in there. And then she goes and just walks in the door, and her, you know, Elizabeth doesn't even know she's pregnant. To my knowledge, like, they didn't have cell phones, nothing. And boom, Elizabeth just comes out with this guarantee. Mary was just, whew, encouraged with what she was walking in because of what Elizabeth shared with her. So that's what I'm talking about, of just laser guy. Once again, Elizabeth, she didn't know this. Like, once again, it's from the Holy Spirit. The only way she could know what she knew and what she said was directly from God, and Mary could recognize that and knew that. So that was, I just know, a huge, huge encouragement for Mary. Later on, too, finish up here real quick. Another example, too, in the life of Jesus, a little later on in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Similar type of deal. Now there's talking about Simeon, when they take Jesus for the first time into Jerusalem. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for glory to your people." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary's mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed." Once again, I just, in the life of Jesus, over and over again, the Holy Spirit uses people, I think, to encourage Mary and Joseph and his family, because Jesus' life was not typical. It was going to end not typical. So all along, giving those solid encouragement from him to the family. So I guess to recap, I think I got everything that I was supposed to deliver. Prophecy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Any believer can prophesy. You don't have to be a special Christian. Prophecy doesn't always predict the future events. It is a message from God through the Holy Spirit spoken by men. And every Christian should want to exercise the gift of prophecy, as it is a tool used to build up the church. So that's 3 points I guess I want you to take away from today. With that, I guess I'm done. Do I pray and I'll dismiss you here. Lord, just thank you so much for your word, and we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. It's a gift to us. As you left the earth, you promised him, and he is here and among us, and we just ask his continued involvement in our lives and invite him more and more. Thank you, and we just praise you. Just look forward to the weeks ahead as we look towards celebrating Christmas and celebrating when you sent your son. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be dismissed.